Hello. It's Easter Monday today. Not for you guys, it's now Wednesday, but for me it's Easter Monday. And I've been away all weekend. I don't know if you've got me on Instagram, you might have seen a couple of photos. I was supposed to record 5 podcasts, plus a live podcast. I recorded 2 plus a live podcast. Unfortunately, a couple of guests had to cancel through, circumstances out of their control, which was obviously shit for us, for me, and for them. And then one of the podcasts, I just decided that it was going to be too much rushing about, and the guest that I was going to be for is a good friend, so I was able just to say to them, we will do this, but maybe best to wait on our time. So it's Monday, I am absolutely exhausted from being away all weekend and drinking too much Joker. And yeah, I've decided this week to put out the Q&A podcast that I did with Jean and Rebecca. So Jean was on last week, so I feel a bit sorry for her, asking her to, have to share all this and have to be the guest twice in 2 weeks. But I don't know, it felt very much like... I don't know, it feels like a good continuation from last week, because obviously we recorded them a few hours apart. I don't know, it just feels right to put it out. I can't describe it any better than that. So apologies, Jean, you're going to have to deal with being the guest, or one of the guests this time, but 2 weeks in a row. I'm even going to listen back to it to edit it, I don't really remember what was said. That's a lie, I do remember what was said. But this podcast was a lot very much focused on mental health because of the Q&A aspect, and because of the aspect that we just written down topics we wanted to cover. Obviously, a lot of that was mental health stuff. So it's quite a heavy podcast, but I remember we were all quite happy with it. We all thought sounded very clever. Oh, I don't know, guys. The weekend's absolutely destroyed me. I don't even know what it was about it. Just too much hustle and bustle, I guess. Anyway, you don't need to hear me moan about podcasting trips. Again, I'm winging it at the moment. I've got loads of podcasts recorded, I've got loads more lined up, so I'm just winging it with who the guest's going to be each week. I want to say it'll be Steve Murison next week, because that one was recorded 2 weeks ago now, a week ago now. And I absolutely loved it, but because of my inability to press pause and to press stop, the podcast is in several parts, so it's going to take me a bit of chopping up to get it, and I just don't have the time this week to get that one out. And also, as I said, I really feel like I want to pair this one with Jean and Rebecca, because it feels like a good continuation on from Jean's podcast. Cool, well, I'm going to go just now, and thanks for listening. And I'll speak again at the end. Bye.
Phone and fire with two syllables. Fire.
I'm very fife. It rips at me when I've had too many drinks, so I dread to think what this will sound like later.
Fire. Like that.
But yes, please do your intro, Nathan.
Well, it was going to be a Q&A, but I didn't really form. I posted a thing asking for questions once, which in my experience is not enough times, because people miss it or people forget and they don't send any questions. But because of, my fucking... people are sick of hearing about this power cut, but because of power cut my flat today, and then because I've been busy recording podcasts and putting heaps of shit out, I didn't follow up. So we've got 2 questions.
I thought we had 3.
Well, I thought we had 3 as well, but I realised my mate
one of my mates that was going to ask a question, he like said, I'm going to ask a question about something. And then he didn't actually ask a question. We just discussed something. So then I messaged him quickly before we did this saying, do you have a question? He's like, no, I didn't actually have a question.
We should do an entire subsection of like, when you're too anxious to even ask your question.
When a taxi is half an hour late, but you're too scared to phone.
So we got two. I think we should do one and then like talk.
Are you going to introduce who's here?
Fuck yeah, I need to do that.
Oh, fuck yeah, man.
Where are we?
I feel like all these cunts will already guess who I am, unfortunately. Yeah, just from the horrible accent.
Fuck, I just disabled my own phone because my fingers didn't work.
Introductions. We've got Rebecca Clark.
Hi, me again.
I'm sure you all know. And Jean, who you might know, depending on what order her podcasts go out.
Do you like the X-Men?
I'm named after the fittest one.
This is... Well, that
I
could
think
be, that
Storm
could be
might be the fittest one.
I was going to say, that could be a question we ask each other.
I mean, he did do a voice tilt there. I heard that. He's unsure.
The fittest X-Men. X-Man.
X-Woman and X-Man.
The X-Person.
Who's your favourite X-Man?
Fucking Wolverine, son. Come on.
Yeah.
Pure rip into me.
As Jean Grey, who...
wants the Bobby.
Jean Grey was, yeah, pretty into Logan.
Yeah.
versus was it Cyclops?
Cyclops. Yeah.
Yes, it
he
was.
He was lame.
Do you remember in the cartoon Gambit though?
Gambit, I remember.
Oh,
Gambit.
What a cunt.
Gambit.
What
he was the one with the fingers bugs and just fucking chucking cards at Abdi.
Yeah, yeah, and he was like from the bayou. Oh, what absolute
he'd
shit
be
bag.
He'd be like the kind of guy that would never get kicked at the pub no matter what he did. But no one else wanted him to be there.
Was probably selling like
MDM.
Unbranded knives. You forget it when you work in a pub and someone came in and was like,
unbranded
yeah,
knives.
Yeah.
I'm working at Witherspoon's in Fife and never once to have a cunt say, do you want some unbranded knives? I'll be honest.
I think Gambit would be selling unbranded
really?
Knives.
No, there was one time that a Polish guy fancied me and ignored them, so he pulled a knife on the bouncer. But it wasn't unbranded, it was really very expensive.
What
I don't know, I actually don't know.
Absolute legend.
What a man.
I mean, that's extremely...
Why didn't you go on a date with him? Like, really?
What? How did you... Well, I
you don't want to ask,
I don't
know?
Want to ask it. I want to...
How
do
you know he's Polish, not Lithuanian?
Oh, he told me. He told me he had some good Polish dick for me. So unless he was lying, like, I'm pretty sure he's Polish. You never know these days, man.
I mean, I regularly send that message to girls I don't know. What are we talking about?
I regularly send myself messages, in all honesty. So yeah, this is not about knife crime, this is about mental health, so what are our topics?
It's not about knife crime.
Not about knife crime. Disclaimer.
I've got some stuff written down. Well,
okay.
Would you hop in with one? Do you want to go for a topic or a question first? What are we going to go for first?
Ooh, I'd like a big tasty question. A
big tasty question.
I agree.
Okay, so one or two, pick a number.
One.
Eight.
One.
One or two.
I mean, I know, it's like, Ken, I wouldn't be much of a football team with it. A good numbers, lads. Someone turned their back and you choose one up, do you?
No, Winky Murder.
Winky Murder.
Hell yeah.
Honestly, I think since we started hiring out this afternoon doing the podcast, you just brought up so many things from my childhood that eventually you're just going to come up with something traumatic that I've...
Are you
triggered? Did I fucking tell you, I have like the best long-term memory that I can't remember what you just asked me 2 minutes ago.
Yeah,
it's
called
anxiety.
I got that too. Oh, I think that's the first time I've ever seen the peak light go on this fucking recorder.
What, as in sound?
As in volume, yeah.
Ooh. It's probably my awful hysterical laughing, I apologise.
Oh, well. I'll get what they'll give
it. Should I just tone it the fuck down?
Nah, you're fine, don't worry. Normally it's too quiet, then, but hey, anyway, we'll go for this question.
Okay.
So this was actually meant to be on the Christmas podcast, but we got too pissed and just didn't do it. So
happens.
What music do you listen to alleviate anxiety?
Radiohead, and it does not work.
Yeah, I can't imagine. What radio? There's so much Radiohead.
I mean, I feel like I'm a big fan of indulging my illness.
Mm-hmm.
Not in like a problematic way as like lashing out at people, but
embracing it.
I like to acknowledge it. I when I'm feeling in a particular mood, whether it's anger or depression or anxiety, I like to listen to things that make me feel like I'm not alone.
Yeah.
So typically quite emotional music. I like to do a lot of cooking when I'm not feeling very well because I feel like that's productive, but it also means I don't need to leave the house.
Purpose. You are capable.
I'm achieving
absolutely.
Shit. I have cooked a boona.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm happening.
I fucking boiled some kale, bitch.
I fucking ovened that bastard afterwards, pretended it was
I think the cooking's one of the best things, like, for I think, I don't know.
I fucking
it's
love
like,
soup.
I love soup too.
Soup is a comfort food. I feel like if you're at the point, which I am very often, where I just can't leave the house, I like to find things around the house that I can do that aren't necessarily boring. So yeah. I am a fan of like anxious cleaning, but I feel like cooking is one of these great things where I don't need to feel fucked up while I do it. I feel productive. I feel homely. I love listening
to
radio.
Do you follow
recipe or? Not with curry, man. Okay. Not with curry, not with pasta. I did a recipe recently where I am doing veganism. It is going okay. Sometimes I struggle just with depression because you need to go out and buy specific stuff from specific stores.
Yeah. You just want cheese.
Fuck, you know, ice cream for breakfast, mate.
Yes,
like,
yeah,
you know,
both of us today.
Both of us today had ice cream for breakfast. But I recently did a recipe where I made fried like fish with chips. But the fried fish was made of tofu. And it was fucking really good.
Fucking game changer. Go on.
No, it was gorgeous. It tasted like fish because you put nori strips in it, so it still got that sort of fishy feel. But I gave a piece to fishy feel though, hashtag.
Oh, that's brilliant.
But like I gave a piece, I hadn't fried anything in like a long time, and I gave a piece to my partner and I was like, does this taste okay to you? And I hadn't tasted it. And he was like, yeah, I just need more salt. And I bit into it and it was like Gordon Ramsay. I was like, the tofu's fucking raw! Like, we had to put it back in. But yeah, Radiohead's a big one for me when I'm cooking. I love that shit.
I think we should do it. I'm going to put in my notes Gordon Ramsay. I think
it's Gordon Ramsay impressions.
It depends what level of like actual anxiety or fucking just down you are.
Absolutely. What do you do then?
If I'm at my absolute lowest, I can't eat. I can't listen to music because it reminds me of being happy and that makes me sadder. But in between, I don't know, like if I get up in the morning, I have to feel music if I go in the shower. And when I'm
When I'm
down, all I can do is shower. Like, I don't know what else to do.
Just wash
like,
away the pain.
Yeah, yeah. I'm upset. I've failed to do my tasks today. All I can do is shower. Even if I've already showered that day, I'm like, just keep showering. Like, that's
an obsessive cleaner.
Yeah,
I like that.
Absolutely. If I'm fucking like down the dumps, then I will just shower.
See, I'm the other way around. I never wash when I'm depressed. Like, if I'm manic, fuck me, hell yeah.
I think that's it. I think it's like the like, oh well, you know, when you're depressed, like you kind of don't do anything. You don't wash, change, whatever. I'm like, if I shower, that means I'm doing something.
Yeah, you feel better.
But it just means I just repeatedly shower throughout the day.
I feel like when I'm very anxious, like my pre-exam song has been for about 7 years, the Peep Show theme tune. Which is so fucking cliche, but it really empowers me.
No.
I don't know why, but it does.
I like that.
It just makes me feel better.
Come to think of it, I was on, like, you know, the end of the year Spotify gives you your top 100.
Yeah, man.
My most listened to song was fucking DMX. X gonna give it to you because anytime I couldn't get out of bed, I just put on. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna fucking go to the gym. I would just go to the shower, but listened to that about 1,000 times last year.
Mine was more depressing. My top listened to song of last year. No, it's not that, but it's a fucking great tune. It was somebody else, and I can't remember the person that
What were your top genres?
Fucking.
Mine were melancholia and punk. Like
mine was fucking Metropolis. And I don't even know what the fuck that shit is. I was like, who the fuck is Metropolis?
What the fuck is melancholia?
What was that book? Is it like the Phantom Tollbooth or something?
Don't get me fucking started on the Phantom Tollbooth.
Oh, fuck, here we go.
I read it in primary six and I'm still raging about it.
Yeah, is that where he's trying to go in Metropolis? Is that where he's trying to go in?
Metropolis.
Yeah, that's where I fucking learned the word dodecahedron, which I never had to use again.
Yeah. Why are you still raging? Do you really not want to get started on the Phantom Tollbooth?
I think it was just the edition we had in primary six with that teacher I didn't like. It was illustrated, but it was really badly illustrated.
Are you not a fan of good illustrations? That make you deeply angry.
I hate primary six.
I mean, I just hate school, like in all colours and forms.
Yeah, fan told with. I didn't realise it had such like not a cult following, but a huge following. Like they had like an animation of it and everything.
I honestly think Jeannie have a power for making me think about things I want. Also not thought about since I was like 10. Animorphs, the Phantom Tollbooth.
I'm just really glad that all I did was watch anime and play Baldur's Gate, because I'm getting none of these references because I was too much of like a hermit geek.
What was that one we talked about? Goosebumps. You ever watched Goosebumps?
Oh fuck, I read the books, man.
I didn't, I was too scared.
I read the fucking books.
Do you remember the TV program that
I watched
the dog
it briefly
with the red eyes and the credits? I couldn't watch
the hell.
I couldn't watch past that. Yeah, no, I couldn't watch past credits. I was like, this is
I love a hellhound,
traumatizing.
Mate. I've modelled my personality as a hellhound, I'll be fucking honest.
Aye, fair dues.
What about your tunes, Nathan?
Oh man, I got so much on this.
Right, go on.
But I wouldn't know what you were saying, Jean, about it depends what level you're at.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So, I'm at my very worst, I don't think I listen to anything. I'm probably phoning my mum.
And, face down in a mattress, like, happening in life?
Catatomic.
For my mum, all of a sudden, my mum telling me stories about herself and other people she knows that have had shit times and been like, she just sits and tells her story and just goes, okay, mum, cheers. And then, but there's one song, and I don't like saying who it is because the guy is a bit of a knob. He's one of these musicians who's turned out to be a total fucking twat.
Standard.
Which one? More specific than that.
Which artist?
My favourite tune to alleviate anxiety of all time is Ignition Remix by R. Kelly.
Oh my god, really? Yeah. Okay, okay.
I don't know what it is, it's just that.
He is a cunt, but good song.
Yeah, I get it.
Makes me feel like a fresher again.
I kind of like the depressing shit by Usher, if that makes you feel any better, which is kind of a niche market.
Oh, do you know what I listened to recently? I don't know whether I've had a proper, like, anxious period where I've listened to this yet, but I can see it being one is Never Ever by All Saints.
Absolutely. Enya. I can't listen to fucking Enya, and it reminds me of being sad, lying face down in a mattress. Just like thinking, like, who can save the road? I'm like, my life's going nowhere.
I just like doing awful things or saying awful things, and then it's like the YouTube meme. immediately afterwards, just sing "Hello, darkness, my old friend." After I do something fucking inappropriate, and there are only so many people in my life that get that and laugh at it. Like, kind of normal people are like, "Oh, bitch, you really fucked up." Like, you shouldn't make jokes about your own illness in the same breath. I'm like, why not?
Are you listening to music to cheer you up, to affirm how you're feeling, or to make you feel worse?
Yeah,
like that's the three levels of it. Basically.
And I feel like everybody with any kind of illness, mental or physical or otherwise, is going to have different levels at different times. Absolutely.
What else? Listen to. There's an album by Tegan and Sarah I quite like.
Okay.
I'm not a big Tegan and Sarah fan. I don't know music.
This was part of the problem with the Christmas podcast.
Yeah, I remember.
Me just screaming, wasted. I don't know any music. I'm not that cool.
But that was. That's the only podcast I've ever. Although we only got 50 minutes in, that's the only thing I've never ever like put out in any form. But that,
no, I was like, mate, didn't do it.
That was my favourite part of it, was that you knew. Like, you were just a bit more compass minutes than me. You knew.
I kicked you out of my house.
I know. You knew part three wasn't a good idea. You were just sitting there.
I was like, "Don't do it. Come on."
We'll talk about music, and then you're just like, "I didn't listen to music."
I mean, the thing is, I do. It's just I've got really shit music taste, and it's really eclectic.
Like, I'll listen to the same three songs, maybe different genres, but just for a month at a time.
I'm the same.
Sometimes it's like fucking Shania Twain. I feel so empowered tonight. Other times I'm like, I'm going to die.
It's like poetry. It's like poetry or your favourite book or whatever else. Like, you just get stuck on that thing and that's you for the next few weeks. Like, I don't need variety, okay?
It was a couple of years ago. I was feeling so shit. I couldn't even listen to ABBA in the bath. I
fucking hate ABBA. Fuck.
ABBA Gold? No! Oh. ABBA Gold is the only thing that'll lift me up sometimes. I couldn't even listen to fucking Danza Queen in the bath. Because it was reminding me of the good times so much.
I call the bath, I call my bath the ISO tank. And I really feel that shit when I'm not well. I light candles, I turn off the lights, I just fucking lie there, submerge, man. It's pretty decent.
I like listening to, like, Alice Cooper in the bath.
Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper's pretty tight.
Uh-huh. Maybe, like, just a bit of, like, hair metal.
Yeah, in the bath.
Something when I'm like... I'm still wearing my
dad metal.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like dad rock and I like dad metal.
Does it make you feel better?
It makes me feel like a strong woman, which is very ironic because it's not strong women that I'm listening to, but
yeah.
It just makes me feel like I can talk about my anger in a cheesy way rather than a problematic way.
I think sometimes, yeah, cheesy music is the best way to
do it. Oh, fuck yeah.
Absolutely.
There's a reason it's popular.
I made a Beatle reference to Blair earlier and he didn't get it and I was like, I don't even fucking like the Beatles. But like, sometimes when you're just in a shit mood, there's that one song and you don't listen to any of their other stuff, but it really feels you. I am the fucking walrus though.
Do you know what I fucking love right now? Is the air horn sound in like trap music. That's just like, do 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 do. Oh, it just makes me feel like I'm just happy at the universe.
I mean, I feel like when I'm manic, like the clucks and like,
I love that so much.
I feel like if Mania had a sound, it would be the klaxon.
I listened, like, literally the other night, I could get my bed, but I just listened to that, like, yeah, that klaxon sound, that air horn sound, just on repeat for
so
10 minutes.
So cute.
For 10 minutes. And I was like, do you know what? I feel good. I can go to the gym.
I'm so proud of you.
With a copy of GarageBand each, and you could just, like, load up synthesizers. You could just sit in your bed and be like...
How do you like know that I don't already do that though? Like, to be honest,
I do. I don't know.
There are YouTube repeat sounds that you can get. I've done that before.
Okay, but the music you listen to now, is it the same as the music you listen to maybe in your teen years when you started to feel shit?
I started getting symptomatic when I was 10, so
we're going back a long way.
But I think the irony is, I would love to say that I've had a huge amount of spiritual growth as a human being, but I really don't think my music taste has developed a huge amount. Like, I love dad rock and heavy metal and screamo and just shit indie when I was like very, very young.
I fucking love that for beat.
Still in it, yeah. Here. The only thing I like now that I maybe didn't like as a kid is like electro.
Okay.
I'm a lot more into that now, but that's probably my only change music wise.
Fucking love an air horn.
I know, well, like, I probably, my music taste changed so much in some ways. Like, I probably now really listen to like Arab Strap and all these bands, and I had another example there. The Smiths, probably a big one that would.
I love the Smiths. Oh, they're fucking tight when you're fucked up, man. But, although, how soon is now, mate?
Although, like, my music taste changed like heaps, I still find myself getting too emotionally invested in Complicated by Avril Lavigne, like,
fuck off. I'd do something.
They were a fucking box, to be fair.
To be honest, now that you've mentioned like a sort of favourite childhood band or childhood sort of like, you know, guilty pleasure, Evanescence were my boy when I was a young teen, and they are still currently my boy. Like, I love Evanescence. Amy Lee can sing. Stop being an alcoholic, Jean. Jean has just poured more alcohol on herself for the listeners.
you can't prove that.
We have no evidence.
I don't want to talk about it.
What was I going to say? I feel like my siblings were quite a lot older than me, like 10, 12, and like 5 years older than me. So I feel like my cultural references and my musical references are older than they should be.
Okay.
So things like, I don't know, even like they were listening to Nirvana when Kurt Cobain was still alive, sort of thing.
My mum saw him. That's how fucking old she is.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Oh, my God.
I know a guy that saw him, and they played, like, a tiny pub in Edinburgh.
Okay.
Oh, my friend's dad was there?
Yeah.
Someone's dad was there.
Small country.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it was, like, As Nevermind came out, so... But the gigs had all been booked before the album was released, so the album obviously exploded way more than anyone thought it would. And so everyone knew who Nirvana were, but didn't really know they were playing this gig. So there was a lot of people in there for a quiet pint.
Imagine that. Nirvana, and then, like, man.
And the boy that I know that's been there said he was just sitting in the pub with his mates on a Friday night while we were having a drink. I'm like, oh, there's a band on tonight, who's that? And then, like, they saw, like, Kurt Cobain and Dave Grohl, and he's like...
Oh, was Dave Grohl there at that point?
Yeah.
I love Dave Grohl. Like, I've seen Foo Fighters, like, five times.
Like, that's Nirvana. And then, like, he says... that time was before social media, before mobile phones even. But he says, like, there was queues on the phone boxes outside
that's
on
amazing.
The street for people queuing up. And when Nirvana started, it was just, like... the regular punters in the pub, but by the time it finished, it was like ram full. All these people are coming.
I mean, I feel like I can say something a bit heavy because it is a mental health podcast, but like, speaking about Nirvana, I think as somebody who is like a victim of like sexual assault, like getting into stuff like Rape Me and Polly was maybe sounds counterintuitive, but it was actually a great way for me to kind of hear about that being spoken about on a public mainstream forum and really not feeling alone about it. So I think as a younger teenager, I mean, even so now, I still love the songs, it's not quite as got the same weight to it. But yeah, that shit was amazing. I love Nirvana.
Do you know what I'm thinking of doing is, I won't mention, I've got a venue in mind, but I won't mention it just in case it doesn't happen there. But
okay.
I think, you know how we're doing the movie one in a couple of weeks? I'm thinking of doing a similar idea, but with bands.
Okay.
So having like a Nirvana sort of mood swings podcast, and having like myself and a couple of guests who are big Nirvana fans, and having like, you know, people come in, there'll be like music by that artist playing, even maybe other artists that are associated with them playing. People come in, maybe have like half an hour even of people just able to like stand around, chill out, talk.
Then
have like
awesome.
Do the podcast with like two guests, and then have the floor open to the end. People want to come up and talk about their experiences with it. The bands, so Nirvana's the one I might be first.
I think that'd be
huge. Absolutely, because that was such a huge amount of time, because they had such like an influence intercontinentally, really.
Yeah,
my older sister, they're all like a lot older than me. My older sister was 12 years older than me, and she was so into Nirvana. And when Kurt Cobain died, she wouldn't come on holiday with us. She had to stay home and mourn for 2 weeks. And like at the time, I was like, oh, it's so funny, but like now it's like. Absolutely, she was so deeply affected. That band was like such an influence in her life that the death of Kurt Cobain was like
huge.
That influential, absolutely, on her adolescence.
I mean, a lot of it's, I mean, there was a lot of controversy around his death, and there was a lot of discussion about mental health with him and his partner, but it's almost comparable to like more of a sort of modern thing. of Amy Winehouse.
Absolutely. Well, that's another one I want.
Oh, okay.
If we go ahead with these, that's
another one. Oh my god, tight. Well, forget I said anything. Absolutely.
Oh, no, you go ahead. I'm just saying that's another person I had in mind for.
Oh, right.
If we do one of those.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant right the second. Okay. I think it was the anniversary of her passing away recently, and there was a lot of people sort of sharing things and, you know, seeing sort of the obvious but necessary thing where the press fucking dragged her for, you know, her addiction problems, her mental health issues, just
when
basically.
She lost weight, when she gained weight,
oh,
how her
fuck.
Hair was, how her
you know,
eye makeup was.
Oh, you know, she has titties, she must be healthy, oh, she doesn't have titties. Because it was very sexualized, a lot of it. And
absolutely.
It was just horrifying. And then, you know, when she did pass away, you know, people did the standard of, oh, she's an angel and she's beautiful, and, you know, it was just really sick.
Like, you know, she's 27, she's blah,
yeah, it's a tragedy, absolutely. And I'm like, well, I'm not being funny, but, you know, the press are fucking vultures. Like, when it's convenient to you, you'll demonise someone. When it's not convenient to you, you'll pretend that you love them all the time. Like, it's a really sick culture, a lot of the time with journalism, in my opinion.
Do you remember where you were when you heard she died?
I do.
Fuck, I don't at all. I think I was in my house because, you know, I don't really leave, but, like, I'm pretty sure I was in my home, but I was still with my parents. My mum loved her.
I remember really so well. Like, I was in the kitchen of the hotel I worked in at home at the time, and it came on the radio, and I was like, oh, fuck. All right, better take these fucking starters out to this table. And it was just kind of like that. I was like, oh, shit, so that happens. That just does happen.
But it's horrible, isn't it? I mean, I think, again, because, you know, such a fucking socialist and you're anti-capitalist is that, I think, in this sort of world, you know, we're just kind of indoctrinated to just move on and move past it. And, you know, I think that's wrong. I think that a large part of mental health and a large part of just life is learning to be able to grieve.
Yes.
And learning to be able to take a time out and to just be able to feel whatever it is that you're feeling.
That's the thing. It's like when you hear about tragedies in the news, they don't affect you. Almost like one death is more emotionally effective to a person than hearing 100 people died.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's the giving of the individuality, like giving that personality to someone has died.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, he people died.
It's a question of humanization, though. It's somebody who, you know, is a popular individual and sort of, you know, the frame of a cultural mind is given a lot more credence to than one person who's had a deep struggle, who's committed suicide, that maybe only a handful of people know. As well as, you know, certain, obviously, mass murders in certain countries are given preference in the media than other mass murders in other countries, and it's a really difficult thing to get your head around when you are a person that's aware of that and can third party it and see the politicization of people's death, like human beings.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's very difficult.
Yeah. So I don't know. We covered that. Do you think?
Where were you when she died?
Oh, right.
Where were you, Ethan?
I was. I'm gonna sound like a super rock star here.
To be fair.
I was in the studio, guys.
Oh.
One of my bands I was in when I was younger, we were recording an EP, and the guy who was producing the record, his partner was a massive White House fan. I think he would have been a bit of a fan as well, and he got a message from his partner saying that she died, and that a partner was quite upset about it. And I remember at the time it was quite weird because at that point I wasn't. Like, Amy Winehouse fan at that time, just with the type of music I was listening to, I wasn't really listening to anything that was in the charts at all, so
okay,
I'm clicked Amy Winehouse, but I still remember feeling a bit like, you know, although she wasn't someone I listened to, it was almost like someone that, you know, within that time, it was a figure that I didn't, it sounds awful, but it was a figure within pop music that I didn't hate, do you know what I mean? It wasn't like All Saints Airport, I hated, like, when they were...
Is it TT, is it?
You know, I mean, it wasn't, like, the kind of, like, End Ups or stuff. And I feel bad that I hate End Ups, but, you know, it wasn't these bands that, like, really, really irritated me.
Yeah.
When I was on the radio, it was decent music for what was on the radio at the time. Now I love Amy Winehouse, one of my favourite artists. But, yeah, I even remember at the time, like, just being bummed out that it happened.
It was just horrible. No, it was a really horrible thing. And, like, my mum fucking loved her. My mum really identified with her strongly. And like I remember watching all these you know how she would obviously do gigs and stuff, and like they would live record it and put it out onto DVD. Like my mum had like the vast majority of them, if not all of them, and I would watch them with her, and we'd drink wine and shit. Like, it was a total thing. And she would always, like, obviously, like, within certain parts, Amy Winehouse would always point to her partner. She had obviously quite a troubled relationship with, and I think my mum, like, as somebody who had suffered quite a lot from sort of, you know, domestic issues, really identified with that, and she took it really fucking hard. You know, when she passed, I'm pretty sure she could fucking tell you where she was when she passed away. Absolutely. But no, it's hard. The music industry sucks the life out of folk, man. Like,
yeah,
fucking
absolutely
clearly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's rough. I got a follow-on question from that. There's no one to ask, but just, like, other than music, like, I don't know if you guys are movie fans, but if there's any movies or anything you go back to, like, you would watch.
Like, oh, I'm like, I'm the same shit. I indulge.
Like, I don't know. It's like, if you were feeling really shit on a day, is there a film you would pop on or...
Donnie fucking Darko. That's such a cliche.
I won't watch anything. Do you know what? If I'm feeling shit, I'll just watch like YouTube, like 5-minute videos just for like 8 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
I do that. I do a lot of spam watching YouTube, spam watching shit on Netflix.
You're like, why am I looking at like theories about fucking
what do geckos eat?
Yeah,
and I never want to own a gecko. Like, I mean, I love geckos, but I never want to own one.
Conspiracy,
why am I looking at what they eat?
Theories about like 70s opera singers who died. Seriously.
The five actresses that changed your mind. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But no, like, I mean, I think for me, like, I stare catatonically at a wall if there's nothing put in front of me.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Although you can argue that watching a movie or watching a DVD or listening to music is a stimuli, a lot of the time I just literally put it there to make myself feel like I'm functioning, but I'm actually not paying attention to it.
Yeah.
I am just staring at a wall. Yeah.
If my Spotify, you know, you're like on... You've got a cue and then you've got one song that just keeps
repeating itself.
If the song just keeps repeating itself, like, I'll be sitting there 2 hours later, I'm like, why do I know the lyrics to this song?
Yeah, you don't even realise
it. Right, it's been on for 3 hours. Okay.
Totally. No, I agree. I think that when I'm like in a position where I'm really quite fucked, but maybe not that bad, I'm maybe like an 8 out of 10, say, arguably.
That sounds quite bad, to be fair.
I mean, it is, but like, my normal is a 7, so an 8 for me isn't that bad.
Yeah, fair enough.
But as a 8 out of 10, a lot of the time I just like to try to exercise my brain in a way that isn't necessarily negative. So I watch thought-provoking films, so Fight Club, Donnie Darko, American Beauty, sort of your standard. I'll try and go a bit niche, try and go into more independent films and things. There probably aren't a huge amount that I can name off the top of my head. Love the one that we did for the movie cast.
Same.
That was tight. That was really, really fucking good. But just stuff like that, just independent movies where I'm like, this is dark, this is kind of depressing, so I don't feel like I'm pretending to have a mindset I don't already have, but I also feel like I'm like a hamster on a wheel and I'm doing something to at least think, do you know what I mean, in a positive way.
Yeah, I feel like I can't watch things I like when I'm sad because they remind me of times I was happy, which just makes me more upset. I can't watch things that remind me of when I was upset because they just remind me of when I was upset. So I can't just watch anything. Like, that's why I just end up just lying there fucking, as I said, face down in the mattress, maybe watching like interviews with drag queens or something for like 3 hours on end, and I'm like, I hate this.
I agree with you though. It's that limbo of where you can't access things that are emotive because it makes you feel worse, and you can't access things that you do genuinely enjoy today
because they remind you of when you're happy.
But like, see, for me, I'm not even like that. I'm like, I don't want to associate something happy with what I'm feeling right now.
Okay, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's how I feel about it personally. Like, I don't want to wake up in, you know, 4 months and not be able to watch Santa Clarita Diet and go, oh, mind that time, I really want to self-harm, do you know what I mean? Like, it's not for me, yeah, I can't do it.
That show was shite, though, to be fair. Drew Barrymore, could you save it?
I didn't like the first half of the first season, but then I did get into it.
I watched the first half and I was like, this is...
Second season's not bad so far. I'm like,
okay. Santa Clarita Diet.
No, I thought you knew it was. Oh, sorry. I texted you about it last time.
I just went over my head.
Don't worry. No, the second season's okay so far.
I couldn't go that far. Like, we've gone to like season 3 of Jane the Virgin. That's it. Like, I don't even watch Netflix anymore.
I like how I'm that old though. That my image of Drew Barrymore is fairly clean, and then I realised her actual life, and I was like, oh, it's me, and then who I want to be after 30. Like, this is awesome.
Does Drew Barrymore have like a dark?
Dude, she got like her tits like on live TV, man. Like, she is wild. She's amazing.
She's been like in the public eye since she was 5, though.
Yeah, she was a child that I had to. I didn't know she'd had like quite a...
Nah, she did a lot.
She had great hair in the 90s as well, though.
She's
like
great
absolute...
hair now. I look at that bitch right now and I'm
she,
like, fuck.
She pioneered the ombre.
Pioneered the ombre. I love that.
On your epitaph.
Right, guys.
Pioneered the ombre. Sorry, continue.
Go on.
No, I'm just thinking like, I think we all came into this being like, what are we going to talk about? We've got so 6/7 things written down that we need to cover.
Okay,
we've
so
done,
we want
to
be tight.
We've done one.
It's Drew Barrymore.
And we've been on for over half an hour already. It doesn't feel like it, does it?
No, it doesn't.
No.
Right, I am sorry. We'll hurry the fuck up.
Right, so we'll go for a topic this time. I'm going to just do this by numbers because I think it's pretty fun. So 1 to 4, Gene, you can pick.
8, 7, no, 3, 2, 1. 1. 1. 2. No, you choose.
Rebecca.
2.
Okay.
2. Oh, that was the one I want to pick.
You didn't want to pick.
Kind of. I think it's one of the more.
Well, here we fucking go.
So this was a term that I've been aware of in the past, but I'd forgotten about, and it came from my podcast with Steve yesterday.
Okay.
It's catastrophizing. Do you know what that is?
I could guess, but why don't you just give me and the viewers a brief description?
So yes. It's where you something happens in your life, and then you perceive it in a certain way, and then you automatically go and.
This has
think
happened.
Think of potential consequences.
Oh, you mean paranoia?
Yeah, well, it's very much like paranoia, but you just
sort of make this,
whatever's happened, you pretty much go to not only just worst case scenario, but worst cases scenario. You like, and you can come up with like endless amounts of negative things.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's my entire life. I can absolutely think of particular occasions if that's what we're going for.
I don't mind. You have to give me like examples.
Are we agreeing or disagreeing with a term or?
I know, I agree with the term. I think it's
catastrophizing. I quite like that, actually. It makes it sound a little cure.
Yeah.
Actually, than probably what it is, in my opinion. What about you, Jean? You start.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's kind of the case of, like, someone passed comment on my shoes. That means they hate me and want to kill my family.
Yeah, no, I fucking feel that.
Or not just that, but maybe, like, someone has passed comment generally in a regular conversation, I'm like, they hate me now, they think I'm stupid and weird, they think I'm a fucking weirdo and they're never going to hang out with me again. I didn't do proper grammar there. Oh my God,
I wouldn't worry about it. It's not like I got a first in English lit. Like, I will not pass. I'm fucking kidding. I mean, not with that though, like I did.
Absolutely,
I feel
like,
you
it's like a natural thing to do, but
it's not though. Like,
is it not?
It's very much a symptom of mental fucking problems.
Yeah, I don't think it is, but
I mean, I think that obviously everybody is probably a little bit insecure, but there's a difference between insecurity and then every single thing you analyse and read into and make it a negative implication.
I feel like it's one of those things you
get
climatized
to it.
No, everyone, yeah, you get climatized. You kind of not grow out of it, but you just fucking learn.
No, but like I like,
and that's your whole life. You learn to deal with it.
Absolutely.
Like,
I mean, you said you got symptomatic when you were young.
Mm-hmm.
You were fairly similar. I was 10. I don't remember a time when I wasn't sick. And it takes a lot of sort of, you know, self-therapizing to like stand out with my own personality and go, oh, other people aren't like this. That doesn't make me wrong or weird or negative. It just means I'm a bit different and I process things differently. And I am mentally unwell and I can accept that. But yeah, you know, someone doesn't reply to my message in 5 minutes and
they're
just like, oh my God.
It, but they haven't replied. Oh my God, they hate me.
I've gotten a lot better with that.
Yeah.
I have gotten a lot better with that. But like, if I'm at a party, like, do you know what? See, if I don't know people, I'm fucking amazing. I am charming, I'm charismatic, I'm confident, like, I'm up my own dick, like, I'm amazing.
Sometimes.
No, like, I'm pretty fucking...
you are.
I'm pretty fucking decent for that bullshit. But see, when I know people and I'm, like, intimate with them and I just want to cuddle them and tell them I love them and they don't give me the same shit, like, oh my God.
No, it's that,
oh my,
it's that, middle, that middle ground, though, friends
I have
of
no
friends,
middle ground.
And I'm like, oh, we met twice.
I mean, like, fucking BPD is wild. Like, you have no in-between. Like, either somebody literally wants to spend the rest of their life being your mate or being your partner,
it's fucking ADHD,
or they want to die
well.
You.
If literally any cognitive, like, disorder, ADHD, I'm like, I am 10 or I'm 0. I said it, like, before, but I have no middle... Like, this was said to me in... Not in insulting, but, like...
Mm-hmm.
In a relationship, someone was like, you're 10 or you're 0, never fucking in between, I can't deal with it.
Well, they said this to you?
Yes.
Okay.
And I was like, yes, I fucking told you that when you started going out.
Yeah.
It's
almost
cute,
like,
at first, and then it's like, I can't deal with this. I'm like, I fucking told you. I never once hid this from you.
I say that to people, though, when like they get all the mania and they get all the anxiety, and I channel it into fun, because I feel like that's the most productive way to get people to like me. I just channel that into fun. But there's a finite sort of limit on that, where I will just have to be myself eventually, but like, hi, I'm really sick. And like, I hate when I start dating somebody and they're like, you're so fun, like, we have so much to talk about, like, you're so spontaneous.
It's so fun at first.
And then I'm like, you know, fuck, like, probably 2 or 3 months in, like, you want to kill me, like, you're done, you're exhausted. I'm fucking exhausted, man, but I can't leave me, you can.
Yeah, oh my God, you're so funny, you speak your mind.
Oh yeah, you're blonde.
I can't fucking help it.
I can't
in
stop,
a couple
yeah.
months you're going to be like, why do you keep criticizing me? I'm like, I don't know, I can't
you're
help
like,
it.
Hyper negative, you're really you're really fucking blonde, you can't shut your mouth, like, I just want to introduce you to my fucking parents, but you can't be nice for 5 seconds.
Oh
I'm
my
like,
God.
It's just me though.
Nothing, like, few things scare me, like, not even like in a relationship, but just other people's parents.
I won't meet them.
Fucking terrify me. Even my friend's parents.
Yeah.
Nah, like, I've...
Even they're like, Jean, oh, Jean's nice. She's so quiet. anything. It's because I'm fucking terrified of your mum.
Blair tried to get me to meet his parents after 5 weeks, and I literally dumped him because I couldn't handle it. Like, that's some bullshit.
Do you know what? Yeah. Do you know what I find difficult with talking? There's people's parents, obviously, from where I'm from, like friends' parents. Uh-huh. People, maybe I've drifted apart from, but I still know their parents because I know them from when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
That freaks me out. Is it's like seeing people from like parents from my childhood and being them being like, do you know anything? Like, what are you doing? You're just like, oh my god, whatever I say will be judged, and you will think of me and my family as evil. Like,
I mean? Like, yes, yeah.
And then I point, then I'll tell them, I'll be like, oh, I'm just doing the bit. Well, it's good to know you're doing well. And they probably mean that sincerely, but to me, just like, how condescending are they?
Yeah, like, I felt really secure because I looked so great on paper and I had all my education, all my poetry and shit to talk about. Yeah, yeah. And then I like dropped out of uni because I was depressed and my parents don't even know. So, hey guys, if you're listening, dropped out. And now I feel
I dropped out twice, like.
And now I just feel like I'm like the blonde stripper that dropped out of uni and no one will ever love me again. Like, that's my position right now.
Mm. I think this actually ties us on quite nicely. It's kind of been weird. We had like six sort of sporadic points, but the way we've talked already sort of given me an order for us to go through the rest of them. So
good. That's because we're all mental.
We're all crazy here, Alice.
Well, next thing I want to talk about was something I've been thinking about over the past few days is about sort of self-awareness of your own mental health as you get older. Because I think you do, I wouldn't say things necessarily get easier, but I think you become more self-aware and you get to know yourself a little bit better.
Yep, I agree completely. And,
I would say overall my mental health has deteriorated as I got older.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, I've become more mature about it and I can recognise things better. So
absolutely. That knowing your trigger things,
mm-hmm.
or knowing when you're about to hit a fucking pothole. I would agree. I feel like it's gotten worse, but I'm more aware of it.
I feel like it's almost not a positive in the sense that I agree with three people, including myself at a table where I'm like, I'm on like this beautiful upwards arch of I am getting sicker every year. But I'm also getting more wise, more competent, more self-aware. I mean, I know that not everybody feels comfortable and not everybody feels better with a diagnosis, but I have always. Like, I'm a very analytical person and I just like to be able to put a face to the name or, an illness to the symptom and go, okay, I can research this, I can talk to people, I can understand this in a productive research way and apply it to my issues. And fuck, that doesn't stop me lying in bed for a goddamn week.
Mm-hmm.
But I can forgive myself more easily for it nowadays when I understand it than when I was 15 and I just thought I was this lazy piece of shit that, wasn't trying.
That's like, I think the key word there is forgive yourself. I think it's a massive thing. It's like, if you continue to beat yourself up about stuff, it just becomes a vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. So it's about letting go of things and
absolutely
allowing yourself a lot of time and space and just being able to dismiss things, I guess. Just
If I have a bad day, I go, well, tomorrow's another day, and fuck, it might be the same as this one, but at least I'm still here. Like, as somebody who's had about 7 suicide attempts, that's a big fucking thing. Like, if I can just get through the day and, be healthy.
Absolutely. If it's a terrible day, but at the end of the day you don't think, well, I'd rather be dead, then you're winning.
That's a victory. That is a fucking victory. And, I've been going through a bit of a bad spell for probably about 6 months now, so I'm probably not the most positive person to listen to, but when it is great, or even when it's sort of midway or normal, like, you feel amazing, because it's just so nice to be able to get out of bed and have a shower and all the rest of it. And I think that, here's my positive take, people with mental illness probably have a really deep appreciation for the little things, man. Yes. Like, no, they really do.
When you're up, you feel it, you're like, yes, this is a good day. Maybe tomorrow's not going to be a good day, but I'm going to make the most of this day, sort of thing.
Absolutely. Like, my boyfriend brings me a banana that we didn't have in the house. Like, he bought me a banana. I'm like, oh my god, this is amazing. Like, I just love the tiny, tiny, tiny things. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I agree. Like,
absolute thoughtfulness.
Absolutely. Just basic compassion.
I think through doing this podcast and meeting loads of people that will be vocal about mental health, I think that's a massive thing that's helped me, is just the language people use and people talking about their own mental health in an intelligent way has helped me recognise my own stuff so much better. And just, and I think that's one of the reasons I think like conversation around it's so important, is because the more people talk about it, even if you feel like you can't talk about it, if you hear other people talking about it, It's like if you move to a foreign country and you don't know how to speak, say, you move to France, you don't know how to speak France.
Yeah.
You pick up French easier because everyone's speaking about it.
Absolutely.
If you're surrounded by people who are open about their emotions and about mental health, like mm-hmm. you'll pick up on how you can express yourself
absolutely.
Better.
Absolutely.
I think it's a big thing that you said, Jean, that you... I mean, you may have said it flippantly, but I think it is very important for my young past of like, oh, I thought it was normal to be paranoid and all the rest of it. I thought it was normal to be like that. And I think the beautiful thing is breaking down those barriers of, oh, it's not. And you can change this if you...
You can
if,
live differently.
Yes.
You can be happier.
You don't need to feel this way particularly, or this alone particularly,
uh-huh.
every day. Do you know what I mean? You can have a conversation. And I thought it was lovely. Obviously, I have a partner. He doesn't speak about mental health a lot. But I was at the pub with him with Nathan the other night. And me and Nathan had a very frank chat about stuff that was going on. Like, just like going to the pub with your mates and talking about mental health without blinking. Like,
yeah.
I think that is such a fucking thing that should go
very
on
modern.
In everybody.
Yeah,
very modern.
Yeah.
But it is. It fucking is. And, you know, I wish that we could all just go to the pub without a disclaimer.
Thing.
Do you know what I mean? And talk about it.
But the thing is, like, I think what were you saying before about, like, being in relationships and still having mental health issues?
Mm-hmm.
It's like...
Yeah, put that down as a whole topic.
You could be with someone who starts off being like, oh, I'm here to support you. Oh, I absolutely understand. I've been through shit myself. Blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
blah. But sometimes your issues just become too much for them.
Yeah.
Like, people have their own issues, but, like, just because someone... Like, I don't want to, like, scare anyone off being in a relationship, but, like...
Not at all.
Just because someone has initially welcomed you into their bosom of support and being like,
bosom of support.
Yeah. I support you.
A matron.
I understand anxiety, depression, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't mean that they're always going to.
Yeah. It's...
Sometimes people get sick of you. Sometimes people just be like... I can't deal with you anymore.
Is that a natural segue into that topic?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Well, that
absolutely.
Was what I wanted to go next anyway.
Tight as fuck. Do you want to introduce the topic? Just so that
we
have a standpoint.
So, yeah, down about how things can change for you if you're someone that suffers from mental health issues
mm-hmm.
and living with a partner.
Mm-hmm. And as Jean was just saying, there have been relationships that I've been in long-term as well as short-term where... You know, either it wasn't really discussed, probably when I was younger, and then when I was older, I was a lot more upfront with it.
Mm-hmm.
My first date with Blair, like, because I'm a flippant person. I deal with mental health issues with comedy very fucking frequently. My poetry is morbid as fucking shit, but if you speak to me as a person, I'm actually very funny, which
mm-hmm.
is a strange sort of paradox. And I literally turned around to him and I was like, yeah, I'm totally depressed. I suffer from mental illness. You know, it's quite difficult. And, you know, to this day, he turns around to me and he's like, yeah, that's one of my favourite things about you on our first date was that you were so frank about an issue that's so difficult
mm-hmm.
to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very endearing. But there's been plenty of relationships where, you know, I've dated people who haven't had mental health issues and, you know, they come home from work and they expect to go out for dinner with me and I'm lying in my fucking bed, just woken up, haven't even had a shower.
Uh-huh,
and instead of turning around going, oh, wow, you're really sick. I'm, you know... Obviously, you haven't told me because you were asleep, but, like, are you okay? Do you need anything? If you don't want to go to dinner, that's totally fine. But in my instance, with one of my previous very serious relationships, it was just a case of, oh, well, I take it we're not going to dinner then. Do you know what I mean? Like, and that doesn't sound like
uh-huh.
a horror... It doesn't sound that bad. But when you're dealing with that sort of sardonic reaction to your own chronic illness every day, and you're already struggling to keep your head above water and be positive about your own self and your own life... It really fucking weighs heavy. It's really detrimental.
Absolutely.
And I'll be blunt as shit. If you feel like you're being like that with somebody that you're in a relationship with who's sick, fucking leave. Like, you're hurting that person. Like,
mm-hmm.
either make a conscious effort to be more sympathetic and to be more empathetic or, you know, accept that clearly you can't make that commitment.
I feel like the scary thing is that you can start off with someone who's so understanding, but then they just... That's the fear, but that's... does happen occasionally, someone who starts out being like sympathetic, but then that's really like your ultimate fear if you have mental health issues, someone's going to
don't feel like you can be loved.
Someone's going to turn around to you and say, I can't deal with you anymore. And when that does happen,
yes, it does.
Crushing.
Absolutely. You know, and again, I made the ridiculous comment that I broke up with Blair because of his parents. That's totally not true. It's totally not true. No, I broke up with Blair because I went manic and I could feel myself going manic. And when I'm manic, I have no impulse control. I mean, that's what mania is. So I literally said to him, I was like, I will take a bunch of drugs. I will cheat on you. I won't even think about it. I won't even realise what I'm doing. Like, I can't be with you. I can't hurt you that way. I would rather we just broke up and maybe when I'm better and we're still talking, if that happens, we can get back together. And that is exactly what happened. And I think it was difficult for Blair when we didn't live together because he had to just take my word for it about how sick I was, because I isolate. So when I'm sick, which is like 3 weeks out of the fucking month, I just don't talk to anyone. I don't see anybody. I don't leave the house. And I think that he felt, quite rightly, very neglected.
Uh-huh.
But now that we do live with each other, he can still spend all that time with me, and he is happy. And he can really just see how difficult it is for me and the physical effects of what it does to me. And he can just be like, oh, fuck, you know, I love you. I'm here for you. And it's great. And I'm very lucky. But it took me 23 years to find anybody fucking, like, yay, you know, my own parents, my own friends. Like, nobody has ever been like him. Like, I'm so fucking lucky. So, yeah, man, I'm in a positive place with that right now, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I'll take a negative spin on that.
Okay.
I was in like a semi-long-distance relationship, but I mean, we lived in different cities and we didn't have a car. But yeah, it was like that supportive start off with, and then when I started to get the like withdrawn way, then it just took too much of a negative impact, and mm-hmm. it was like, I can't deal with this anymore. And that was it. And I couldn't do anything, because that's just who I am.
Of course, well, you can't be expected to change, and at the end of the day, everybody with a mental health illness would probably love it if they didn't have a mental health illness, but uh-huh. that's not the case, and it's not anybody's fault, and you already feel like enough of a burden to yourself.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be with somebody that, you know, yes, of course, it's difficult to be with somebody who is sick in any capacity, but I don't think that it's okay to blame someone. I don't.
Yeah. It's weird that like when at what point do you consider yourself unwell or sick?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's obviously mental health issues are as effective as as anything physical, but like, because
yeah.
they don't necessarily have the same physical symptoms, how at what point do you tell people you're not well?
Sorry,
I'm sorry.
I think for me is I think when you've been as unwell as this table has been for such a for such a long, glorious period of time,
uh-huh.
I think that, you know, again, you can have good days and you can have middling days, but
mm-hmm.
I think that at this stage we all know when we're approaching a really big fucking dip.
Uh-huh.
Like, I normally get about at least 4 days, maybe a week in advance before I'm like, yeah, I'm about to get super fucked up, man.
Do you know what I get? Is I get a fucking really productive week, and then that's
really
when that's when I know I'm about to not be able to do anything for 2 weeks.
See, I'm the other way around. I'll get like super fucking depressed for a couple of weeks, and if I don't come back out of it,
mm-hmm.
I'll either go manic or psychotic, that's worse.
When you switch back to being normal again, you're like, I feel great. This is so easy.
I know.
Like, why the fuck should I spend 3 weeks being depressed in my bed?
But then
like,
you turn around to your partner and you're like, oh, I feel fucking great now. Do you want to go out for dinner? Like, bitch, I'm exhausted. Like, that's normally the standard. What about yourself, Nathan?
I think mine's a little bit different because I've been with my girlfriend for so long,
mm-hmm.
and like we were so young when we got together. There's been we've both changed in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So although it's one relationship, it almost feels like, you know, like
it changes. Absolutely.
Yeah, it just feels like I could probably sum up in parts and like
mm-hmm.
yeah,
you know, and I don't know. I've been a cunt like so many times.
Haven't we all?
And
shit, yeah, man, fuck. That was a
Sorry.
Deep fag draw for the listeners.
I don't know what to say about it really. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Like, it's weird that you see yourself do things and you look back on it and you realize you've been the worst person in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and that's not even like, I'm not even talking about big things, just like little things you've done, little things you've said.
Of course.
And then, but then, in a way, you respect the other person more because they've dealt with it, and
yeah.
I suppose you could react in two ways to that, and you could be like, well, I can get away with this now, or you can be kind of well, I've done that and I don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
But kudos to them for fucking putting up with it, you know what I mean?
I mean, I feel like pain of any description, an illness of any description, does tend to lend itself, when it's chronic, to selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
And
where do you draw the line between being selfish and self-care, though?
But then that's the issue, isn't it? And I think that's, again, when you've been sick for so long, you would like to believe, and I think we would all like to believe here at this table, that through time and through growth, we're better at understanding that line. And when we're actually being cunts because we feel like it, and when we're taking time out because we genuinely need it. I know when I'm being a little shit, and then conveniently sometimes blaming it on mental health. Fuck, I'm no angel. I have done it. Mm-hmm. And I know when I'm just generally being like, I can't do this. I'm so sorry. I will make it up to you. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think for myself, with my life, I'm quite clear on the distinctions now, but also as a human being that's integrally not probably great, I still do act out. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I think it's interesting for me as well in my working life, like, industry I've been in pretty much my whole working life has been an industry where if I don't show up for work, it's probably going to have quite a detrimental effect on the whole operation of whatever I'm working. So, like, you know, that in a lot of ways is a responsibility. That's totally what it is. And it means that I, like, if I don't go to work, there is going to be effects and people are going to be affected. So I think it's sort of that sort of a similar relationship that if...
Oh my God, absolutely. It's a working relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'm really lucky because I'm self-employed, and if I'm doing shit one day, I can just choose not to go to work and nothing bad happens, and it's a wonderful situation. But obviously with university, I dropped out because I was significantly mentally unwell, and I just made the choice of either I continue this and I get an extra title at the end of my name that I actually don't respect and I actually don't care about, or I just admit that this was a mistake. That I'm too unwell and that I just need to, you know, take some time for myself. And I am proud, I am sensitive about the decision. It was very recent, it was only 4 weeks ago, but I'm really fucking proud of it. And it was probably the biggest thing I've ever done for my own self-care and my own mental health. And fuck, man, if that's what you can say at 23, I think I'm not doing too bad.
If it's a decision you make and after making it, you feel like a weight's been lifted off your shoulders, you know it's good.
I mean, I felt relieved. Like, I hadn't even done the paperwork and I felt relief. It was like somebody had taken a house off my fucking head, like the Wicked Witch of the fucking West or whoever it was. It was just amazing. And that, for me, I'm a very intuitive, instinctive person, and that, for me, obviously told me definitively that it was a correct choice.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are your other questions?
Well, I'm just thinking we've done almost an hour, so I'm thinking...
A wee break?
Yeah, I think if we take a break now, then we can do the rest of them after.
Sure, tight.
So,
goodbye, listeners, for a very brief time. I imagine you'll probably be listening to this and you'll probably be able to download the next part. So, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Jean's not giving a fuck. She's like, nah.
I need to pee like so.
Well, guys, that was the podcast. The first half, anyway. I'm so dawdled that I almost forgot whether or not I'd recorded this outro. And that's how exhausted and done in I am from the weekend. I feel like I'm just moaning, and I really don't want to do that. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I thought it was a really fun one to do, and me, Jeannie and Rebecca hadn't never spent any time just the three of us before. But I thought we all like got on super well, and just some nice vibes. Little Love and the Friendly Vibes, which is the name of a band from Edinburgh, which I quite enjoy the name of. Moving on from that, yeah, we've got, I think next week will be Steve Murison. He's an artist from Aberdeen. He made me a lovely cat that I will post a photo of on Instagram. So I think that's going to be next week. But you've still got part two of this one to come. If you didn't enjoy this one, then there's not much hope for you for part two, I'm not going to lie. But well done for getting this far, having not enjoyed the last hour. If you did enjoy it, then you're in for a treat because it's more of the same. And we just cover the rest of the topics we had on the sheet of paper. We chat a little bit, and then at a certain point I felt that the conversation was drifting away from the three of us, and that it was time for the mic to go off and for us to finish our drinks and all go to bed. But yeah, I think this podcast is really good. Part one and two are both really enjoyable, I hope. Do I have anything else to tell you? Oh, we have our next live podcast coming up. It is slightly different, so it's the filth one. So we can't show the film like we hope to because of like licensing stuff. So what we're doing is we're having it at the Anatomy Rooms. We're still having the podcast there. There's going to be really cool visuals. We're probably going to make a playlist. There'll be a bit of time at the start and at the end to like for everyone just to sort of mill about. And then we'll host the live podcast where we'll talk about filth. Anyone in attendance will have the chance to come up and say their piece about the film and any thoughts they have about the mental health aspects of the film, or just any aspect of the film really, but so we'll be focusing on the mental health. And yeah, it's going to be cool. We can't show the film there, but what I've decided to do is, because I feel kind of guilty, I'm going to show the film at my flat. Yeah, I know. Before the podcast, essentially. So I've put it on the event page on Facebook. You can like click whether or not you want to attend the podcast, the thing at my flat, or both, or just one. I'm confusing myself here. And yeah, I will message everyone that says they want to come to mine to watch the film, my address on the day. And you can come over to mine. I live right near the anatomy rooms. I live really close to the anatomy rooms, so it's not like a big issue for getting between the two. So that is what the plan is. But you know, to spare my carpet, the film is on Netflix if you want to watch it there, or I think you can probably get a DVD for about 50p nowadays, or you can just stream it illegally, I guess. But I mean, you might have already seen it, but the option is there if you want to watch the film before the podcast, that I'm going to have a little mini screen at mine. Obviously spaces for that will be limited, so if that sounds like something you want to do, get in touch as soon as, essentially. Right, please continue to support the podcast on all the social medias. And oh fucking hell, it's like I've just had a rush of thought there. I have been considering recently getting t-shirts made again. I can't remember if I've already said this on one intros and outros, but yeah, it'll probably just be the same design as we had before, because it was popular, and because I mean I like it, and I don't see the need to do anything different really at the moment. So if you think you'd want a t-shirt, give me a shout, because I want to, you know, gauge the interest before I get made up, because obviously it's quite a significant financial investment to get them made, and if I don't sell them, then I'm left with a big box of t-shirts that usually sits in my living room and pisses my girlfriend off, and I'm down a heap of money and have a heap of t-shirts with my own logo on it, and I could just wear one a day, I suppose, and then just wash them all, and then I'd be sorted for like t-shirts for the rest of, you know, the year. But I feel if people saw me around town and knew I was the Midlands guy and I was just wearing my own t-shirt all the time, I feel that it would look like horrendously brazen propaganda. So yeah, if you want a t-shirt, essentially, drop me a message or leave a wee comment or something, I don't know, just let me know somehow, you'll find a way. Right, cheers, and I'll be back for part 2 this week. Sound.